return, please, to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. May the Lord bless this well-known portion of his word. We have here the Apostle Paul giving his testimony to Timothy. Tonight, I would like to share with you my testimony, because I likewise am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It certainly was in my case. This being my first visit, or not my first visit, but my first meeting, I felt it appropriate to tell you how God saved me as a young lad. I was the youngest of a large family of eight, and home was a little cottage out on a sheep and cattle property west of Tenterfield on the New England of New South Wales. And my mother was a godly woman, my father a station hand, and we didn't always have the privilege of getting to Sunday school, but we attended occasionally a little gospel hall called Sevenlea. Sevenlea was just a handful of believers gathered. This was just a little south of Stanthorpe on the New England Highway. But because this was some 100 miles or so from our property, we were never privileged to attend very often. My mum and dad were in fellowship there, and I was grateful for Christian home. My mum would act as our school teacher. My brother and I were the only two at home at the time, and my elder brothers and sisters had, my sister had left. They were working throughout Queensland, and so it was my brother and I that would do correspondence, and our education was just purely by correspondence and radio in those days, where we listened to parts of the curriculum. But I was most grateful for a loving and a Christian mother. Each night we would read the Bible around the table, and it never was an easy job or task. I found it difficult to pronounce some of those Old Testament words. I felt that the reading of the Bible of a night was just an extra educational curriculum. I thought, well, maybe all this is about being better, a better person when I grow up. And so, at the age of 12, I found it difficult to understand why all this was so necessary. But as time went on, we attended Sunday school occasionally. I soon became to realise that there's such a thing as sin. We would learn verses, of course, but didn't mean a great lot to me until one Sunday afternoon we were walking out past the little creek beside the gospel hall, and it was a very, very hot afternoon. I asked my mum, could it be okay to go for a swim? And she said, well, not really, that little creek's not suitable. It's normally dammed up for baptisms, and that water would be added to it, and that's where the baptisms would be held. And then she said, one day, that's where I would be baptised. Mentioning me by name, I thought, no, Alf can't be baptised there because he's not even saved. I hadn't accepted Christ as my saviour, and I knew that if I didn't understand baptism, I knew this much, that one had to be saved. Mothers have a special way sometimes to impart just that gentle touch to put you on the right track and to say, well, you should be considering these matters. Time went along and I got concerned about my salvation. I got concerned that I was a sinner and I was born in sin. And I recall at various times there's a dear old man called Bill Jones Sr. who would proclaim the gospel in a very profound manner, and these words had carried with me, and as I would consider what he had to say, I knew this, that I was a sinner. I thought best I approach my mum and talk to her about it. I endeavoured to do that without success. The devil always stepped in and said, no, why speak to your mother about that? If there's any unsaved here tonight, the devil makes sure, he makes it sound silly to speak to those around about you or your parents about your salvation. I want to speak to my brother sitting next to me at my desk. No, he might not be saved. I would sound silly if I asked him about my salvation. I thought, well, I must approach my mum. Wasn't that I wasn't close to her? Indeed I was. At this stage of life, she was suffering from sugar diabetes, and it was my responsibility to give her an injection each morning, so you can see that there was a closeness of heart. But I still couldn't approach her about my salvation or lack of it. I thought, well, I'll wait till she goes outside into the garden, as she would do, clothesline, around about 10 o'clock in the morning. I waited, and sure enough she did. I didn't go and speak with her. I went straight to her bedroom and found her Bible. I took it down from the Duchess. I unzipped it. I flicked through it. Wasn't quite sure what I was looking for, but I had seen many, many tracts and snippets of notes. And I thought, well, here's my chance. I flicked through and I found a little tract. The title of that tract was Saving Grace by Nancy Dodger. I quickly took it. I put it in my pocket. I closed the Bible and put it right where it was, hoped that no one would notice. I took that little tract with me back to my desk and I read it. It's about a young lady's conversion. So I took the tract with me and carried it on the property over the following weeks and months. And I read it every chance and opportunity I got. I would read this little tract. Made sure no one was watching though. Whether I was mustering or where it was, I would read this little tract. Until one day, we'd been mustering and we were coming home. We crossed the sheep in the shallows, not far from the homestead. Having put the sheep through the river, we would then ride our horses on through. My pony was very fond of cooling off in the deeper sections of the river, and I enjoyed this, I think, as much as she did. So we plunged into the deep holes to cool off, thought nothing more about being drenched and wet from head to toe. We penned the sheep in the wool shed, ready for the next day, and it wasn't until I got home that night I went to take the tract out of my pocket to find it was ruined. It was wet and ripped, worn and torn, and I was saddened. I thought, I've lost my closest friend, the friend whom I had been reading about and grown to be close to. This young lady wasn't an ordinary young lady, she was an invalid. And she was blind and suffered an incurable disease. And so it was this shock of being able to communicate and being able to learn of someone else's conversion because I was trying to get saved myself. Perhaps it would be timely if I tried to tell you the contents of that little tract. that touched my heart. It might touch yours if you are not saved tonight. It's a story about a young lady whom I know very well, an invalid, age 22. You may know her, who can tell? Now, hospitals had been my home for close on 7 years. I'd suffered much, had lost my sight, and oft shed many tears. Yes, laugh, and this world laughs with you. This saying's all but true, for you want it if you're happy, but then seldom when you're blue. Then one day I heard the gospel, but I wouldn't listen. 'Twas brought me by a friend of Dad's, you see. That was his mission. Then other Christians came and said, you must be saved. What cheek, thought I. You'd almost think that I had misbehaved. They gave me the book and said, read John 3 and verse 16. Salvation's way was there, they said, quite easy to be seen. Let Christ dwell in your heart by faith, they urged me with a plea. Why he was wanted there at all was what I failed to see. If there's a God, and God is love, then why did I have to suffer? It all seemed wrong for one so young. These thoughts made me the tougher. Oh yes, my heart was black and hard, wicked and deceitful. Proud was I and self-possessed. A saviour wasn't needful. The months slipped by until one day my heart was filled with fear. Some inflammation touched the spine. They thought the end was near. They called for Mum and Sister Jean, who came without delay. I realised how unprepared I was to die that day. Gone was all pride, for death I faced. I tell you, I was scared. Could I meet the Almighty One for whom I had never cared? Oh God, give me another chance, I prayed. And as I waited, he sent along his friends, the ones whom I had slated. I said, will you come and read with me? I feel it's Christ I need. Oh Nancy, loved one, lady said, we'd only be too pleased. And as I learned of Jesus, God's way became quite plain. I found I was unworthy and must be born again. And so, in simple faith I trusted this Saviour of the world, and felt my burden lifted as wondrous grace unfurled. For the precious blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all sin. 'Twas through his love on Calvary that I was brought to him. I claimed him as my Saviour. I'll trust him to the end, and I'll confess to all the world there's not a better friend. In him I have my counsel. As physician, he's the best. He's all in all the only one who'll stand every test. He's my Lord, my King, my Master. He's man but very God. And now he's taught me the reason for this his chastening rod. And it's only as God touches us through suffering and through pain that he can mould these lives of ours and sift the chaff from grain. And yet there are those who tell me, take care, you'll go too far. It makes me stop and wonder how close to God they are. For all like sheep have wandered, each one to his own way. The Lord would have us come to him, to trust him and obey. No matter what our colour is, no matter what our creed, if young or old or rich or poor, it's Jesus Christ we need. Now are you one who hears these lines, who doesn't know my Saviour? I pray you'll heed this story of a foolish girl's behaviour. And now I've told you how he's overcome this stubborn heart of mine. Rarest love so tender, it could only be divine. So won't you give your heart to him? Become a Christian too. For what he's done for me, I'm sure he can also do for you. And that's why I recite these lines for him, that you might profit by it. Now don't argue the way I did, but go ahead, take God at his word, and be the happy possessor of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This little tract worried me because here is a young lady that knew what it was to have suffered. And yet, I didn't have those ailments, but we had one disease in common. It was sin. And so I realised that we're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. At 12, I kept saying, what have I done? I've done nothing wrong, but I was born in sin. Not too many weeks later, we went back to a gospel meeting. We stayed for the evening gospel meeting, and it was taken by Mr. Bill Jones Sr. I can't recall a great deal of the gospel message that night, but I do recall the hymn that he sang in closing. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast, that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, be in time. Fairest flowers soon decay, youth and beauty pass away. Oh, you have not long to stay, be in time. This was the end of it for me. It shook my very being. I wasn't even sure we were going to make it home to the property that night. I wanted to get saved. I knew that the breath within my nostrils could be snapped and I'd be in hell. As we travelled home that night, our old car wasn't what we have today. And as we negotiated a steep range, I thought, if these lights go out and we're going to be over this range, I'll be in hell. I got home. It was abnormal practice to have supper, but not for me. I wanted to get saved. I knew I was on the brink. I knew that it was then or never. I waited for my parents to retreat. A little while later, I rushed to my mum's bedside and said, I don't want to go to hell. I want to get saved, and I want to get saved tonight. Well, my dad prayed. I left the room. I still wasn't saved. I recite, laid in bed, and it was a dark winter night, and recited the very few passages I knew. I knew John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I repeated it over and over and over. That didn't save me. I went over the little track. I went over Nancy Dodge's inversion. And I came to one line. It was the line where she said, in simple faith I trusted. You see, half was John 3:16. Our Lord Jesus has done it all. He's paid the price. He's made provision. But unless we take a hold of it, you'll never be in heaven. Unless you can see that in simple, childlike, trusting faith, John 3:16 is what? Our blessed Lord, he loved us. He gave his all for us. Immediately I could connect John 3:16 to what I had to do. I had to get out of bed, and I got on my knees, and in simple, childlike faith, I just said I was sorry for my sins. I trusted his finished work. I trusted the work on Calvary. His precious blood was shed for me, and I couldn't say any more but that I was sorry for my sin. Romans 10:9 confirms, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How sure, how positive. And it's as simple. Nothing complicated about salvation. Our Lord Jesus wouldn't have made it complicated for us to be with him throughout the never-ending ages of eternity. He's done the work. It's up to us to believe in simple childlike faith and accept him and confess our sin before him and be the happy possessor of eternal life through Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. May you do so tonight while there's yet time and opportunity.
I don't think our brother will mind me making a little addition to his testimony. I'm not in the practice of doing this, but I think I'd just like to say this, that as he went into manhood, he became completely involved in the motor car racing industry and was a well-known figure in the racing tracks of Australia and through Europe. He got to a point where he would drive for 1 year for BMW, another year for Mercedes, another for Ferrari, and another for Toyota. And his name was well known and famous and very successful in the racing tracks of Europe as well as Australia. It was on one of those tracks when God drew him to a realization that he'd got away from the Lord and that his future couldn't continue like that. He was in a movement of a race. They'd just come out of the pits where they had refueled fully with fuel. And the driver in front of him, they both had an arrangement. They were both in a similar team, that if he needed it, he could give him the signal that he wished to pass. And the moment came, and Alf gave the signal, and he was about to pass the car in front as he just moved over fractionally to give him room, when two of the cars touched. Now, with their tanks full of fuel, the fire was immediate, the tanks exploded, the flames just was huge, and the conflagration was immense. Alf was right on the tail, no choice of moving one way or the other. He had to go straight through the middle of this confrontation. He went through the flame, and the thing that amazed him was he came out the other side without a touch, without a scratch. The result was that one driver was killed. I think 40 cars were all piled up. The race was stopped, and Alf's car went straight on. God spoke to him. He took his car back to the pits, and he never went racing again. It's only a few years ago he came back to Australia and he came back to the Lord, and now of course he's given you his testimony. Now you'll forgive me, I haven't taken that liberty before, but it's nice to know that God still is in control, and that we think we can take our path in life and we think we can go the way of fame and of great success, and then God speaks and a life is changed.